A very good afternoon to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. I didn't know you all were already ready to receive the Venerable Yin Kuang, the Venerable Yin Kuang. So I was told she will be here in about 15 minutes' time. So no problem. What we can do is we will do our puja first. You compose your mind, develop the faith, the sadha, the virya. Then we will pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Sakyamuni, and all the other great beings. Then after that, we will chant the puja. Namo Bhansi Sakyamuni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sakyamuni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sakyamuni Pho. Namo Guanxing Pusa. Namo Guanxing Pusa. Namo Guanxing Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Okay, we will pay respect to Triple Gem following the Theravada tradition. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panati Pata Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Adina Dana Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Kame Sumichachara Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and other worthy ones. Okay, a very good afternoon to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is a rather auspicious day for you all, huh? Because you are going to receive this venerable Yin Guang, is it? Huh? If I'm not wrong. Ji Guang. Oh, I saw in the WhatsApp is written as Yin. Ji Guang. How to spell? Oh, not written there, on that board there. Oh, cannot see too far. It's okay, yeah. Venerable Ji Guang. So I rejoice with all your wholesomeness. So you all have prepared yourself. So later on, when she arrives, we just compose our mind to receive her. I was told she will pay respect to Triple Gem. Then after that, she will go to the room and have a rest. Then we will continue with our class. So that was tentatively what was told to me. Yeah, Miss Lee, you can use that mic. You want to do it when he starts, or you want to do it before? No, because his talk start at 5. You better do it before 5 when you invite her out, huh? Or then you separately you offer it in the room. No. When she wants to use this, you need to offer before. Then you offer before. But you want her to receive the offering first. It depends on her because she has to stay. Understand after that, because. It's not on. Okay. Thank you. You understand what I try to advise you or not? You have to check with her. Because normally, if let's say a monk or a nun come, if you already decide to make offering everything, she cannot be like, receive your offering, then just go off like that. Then after that, wait for our session to finish. 1 or 2 hours later, then only come out. Understand? So you need to check with her. So whatever offering you want to offer as a group, you have to plan it. Understand? So in this particular case, I leave it to you because you want to let her use. So if she really need this, you better check with Joyce. I don't think she need anything. She would have brought along something for her, whatever. This one can be used later on. It's not a problem. It doesn't mean that when we offer you, you have to open up and use. I leave it to you. You have to make a decision. Yes. Yeah, she's here already. She was asking whether immediately offer, where she's scared she wants to use it. No, she won't be using it one. Then only the whole thing offered together. You don't worry about her usage. She will have her own thing. So we just let things be. It's more appropriate when she is invited here than you rejoice and offer simultaneously. Understand? Otherwise, it become like half-baked. So I leave it to to you all because it is your occasion and your function. Yeah? So is she here already? Oh, not yet, huh? So now we can start our class. Okay. So we have to be clear about what time she's coming. Huh? If Sungai Besi, I think. Okay. So we don't have to like unnecessarily go through the session with your mind actually not focusing. Understand? You just let things be. Whatever will be, will be. When the thing time come, when the phone call come, they will inform me. Then we will know what to do. Huh? So you learn to listen, learn to be at ease, no matter under what circumstances. Okay. I rejoice with whatever wholesomeness that you are going to develop today. So we will continue from where we end. We are at page 34, if I'm not wrong. For those who have the book, you can turn to page 34. Oh, she's here already. Okay. Then we will start later. So you compose yourself, prepare yourself, get ready to receive her. So, for the time being, while the Venerable is having a rest in the room, we can start our sutta class. So, we turn to page 34, where we stop. Before that, we shall turn to the first page, where we will recite the verse, the opening verse, for starting a sutta. Verse for opening a sutta, we will recite together. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see it, hear it, receive it, and uphold it. I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then we turn to page 34. A great many people had heard the Diamond Sutta, but none of them had become enlightened. Now in the West, perhaps someone will hear. One should produce that thought which is nowhere supported, or the mind that has no dwelling. And understanding the principle, become enlightened. That is what I hope. This is based on Master Xuanhua's commentary. Whether or not it will actually happen is another matter. After becoming enlightened, he did not say, "Ah, I'm enlightened." He was not like some people today who do not understand even a hair's breadth of Buddhism or Buddha Dharma, yet claim to be enlightened. The ancient, even when they had become enlightened, did not recklessly say, "I'm enlightened." Even less would people who had not become enlightened claim to have done so. It is necessary to seek certification from a good knowing advisor, a person who had already awakened. That is why the sixth patriarch went to Huang Mei to seek the fifth patriarch's seal of certification. So this one we had covered last Sunday. Then we continue. Enlightened ancients did not attempt to certify themselves. Today, however, there are those who have not become enlightened and yet said they have. Enlightenment and non-enlightenment are as different as heaven and earth. Moreover, many naive young people take stupefying drugs and claim to have gone to the void. Confused demon, posing as good knowing advisor, certify them, saying, "Yes, you have attained to emptiness. However, there is no place for you to live in emptiness." So, Master Xuanhua, I think, he literally mentioned, "Come back. Come to my place. I have building and houses. I have a commune." The young people said, "That's not bad at all." They take the demon as their teacher. Ultimately, this not good knowing advisor, bad knowing advisor, do not know themselves if they are true or false. You and I do not know either. But now we should use the sutta for certification. The sutta does not say that any foolish person has a commune in empty space. Even though rockets now can go to the moon, space settlements have not yet been built or developed. So this kind of thought simply does not get by. Now we are exceedingly busy in the in the morning. Everyone gets up at 4 a.m. to recite the sutta. We are busy building houses on the earth, not in heaven. Why? We are people on earth, and so our houses should be built on earth. We are forging our bodies into indestructible Vajra body. Our bodies are our houses, but they sometimes go bad. Now from morning to night, we are busy constructing them, cultivating them, to be in the end like indestructible Vajra body. With an indestructible Vajra body, you can go wherever you wish. You can go into empty space, up to the heavens, down to earth, or to the Dragon King's palace. It is very simple, and you do not need a passport or a schedule. You are free to take off at your own convenience. But first, construct your own indestructible body, then you can do it. Then the text say the fifth patriarch measured his capacity and transmitted the rope and Dhamma so that he inherit the patriarchship. The time was the first year of the reign period of how to pronounce this word? Long Xuan, cyclical year of the Xin Yu, AD 661. He returned south and hiked for 16 years. So that was how the sutta come about, the sixth patriarch sutta, when he went and meet up with this fifth patriarch. A lot of things happened. Then within a period of a few months, I think 8 to 9 months, less than a year, condition was such, the fifth patriarch certified Hui Ning, and he became the sixth patriarch. But when he was certified, the fifth patriarch told him to leave the Wei place immediately, because the fifth patriarch knew his human form, that so-called Hui Ning's human form, can be threatened if he stay. So that's why he sent him off. So in order to understand clearer, I had mentioned you bring along your Heart Sutta notebook. So for those who have brought along this notebook, you can turn to that particular page where we had the Six Patriarch Sutta. Chapter 2. I think it's on page 6. Heart Sutta Lesson 2, page 8. Page 8. Under 2.2. Important quotation from the sixth patriarch Hui Ning's Platform Sutta. I will read to you the introduction so that you can understand the history behind how Hui Ning met the fifth patriarch, and from there what happened and how he received the transmission. One day while delivering firewood to a store, Hui Ning heard a customer reciting the Diamond Sutta and has a great awakening. When he heard that stanza, the mind must have no dwelling. He immediately inquired about the sutta and decided to seek out the fifth patriarch, Hong Ren, at his monastery in Huangmei Mountain. Hui Ning then embarked on his journey, and after traveling for 30 days on foot, he arrived at Huangmei Mountain, where the fifth patriarch was residing. From the first chapter of the Ming Canon version of the Platform Sutta, the fifth patriarch asked Hui Ning, "Who are you and what do you seek?" This is a very, very famous communication between fifth patriarch and Hui Ning. And you realize how the question was phrased. Who are you and what do you seek?
normal people, what will be your response? Yeah? What will be your response? Yeah, now I ask you, who are you and what do you seek? Yeah? Pass the mic to, help, pass the mic to Susan. Very good. Yeah, normally what will you say? Yeah.
Normally, I think one would say, I am so and so.
Yeah. Then what do you seek?
I seek the Dharma.
Oh, okay. So at least there is a very safe answer. I seek the Dharma. But Huineng different. His route is very different. His path is very different. He knew before he came. Yes, the moment he heard that stanza, the mind must have no dwelling. His nature actually awakened. He already had that type of mind that has got no dwelling. But just because nobody explained to him what that type of mind is. So the moment he heard the Diamond Sutta, that the true mind or the original mind or the actual mind of a cultivator is a mind that must have no dwelling. The moment he heard that, he awakened. And he knew all along his mind was like that. That's why he can awaken. Then he decided to go and meet up with the fifth patriarch. So that was how the communication came about. Then Huineng answered. He said, I replied. He straight away said, your disciple, no, before even fifth patriarch accepted him. No? He said, your disciple is a commoner from Xingzhou of Lingnan. I have traveled far to pay homage to you and seek nothing other than Buddhahood. See? Such a wise answer. He had traveled so far to pay homage, and what he seek was nothing other than Buddhahood. Means not even sainthood, no. He really, really want to be a Sambuddha. Then the way the fifth patriarch answered him was very good. Oh, so you are from Lingnan, a southerner. So in the olden days, in China, when you are from the south, means what? You are not educated, and they call them barbarian. But most of them are illiterate. But those who are born in the north, you go Beijing, there one, they take the entrance exam, they are all scholars. So southerner, they label them as barbarian. Then the fifth patriarch asked him, how can you expect to become a Buddha? Asked the fifth patriarch. The way Huineng answer was beautiful. You listen, this can help you develop a lot of understanding. Huineng replied, he said, I replied, although people exist as northerner and southerner, just like we all, we exist as East Malaysian, West Malaysian, Chinese, Indian, Malay, and all the other races. But Huineng very wise, is it? Although people exist as northerner or southerner, in the Buddha nature, there is neither north or south. A barbarian differs from your holiness physically. But what difference is there in our Buddha nature? Oh, the moment he answered like that, fifth patriarch knew. No? You know what fifth patriarch told him or not? Master Hongren, the fifth patriarch immediately asked him, hey, you talk too much, he said. You go and do your kiosk at the rice mill. Then he sent him to the kitchen. Huineng chopped firewood and pounded rice at the monastery for the next 8 months. Then, how he became the sixth patriarch. One day, Master Hongren announced, the question of insistent birth is a momentous one. Now you listen. This is applicable to all of you too. The question of insistent birth is a momentous one. You know, living being, most living being, they had undergone birth and therefore eons and eons and eons. That's why they call it insistent rebirth. and this is a momentous one. Day after day, instead of trying to free yourself from the bitter sea of life and death, in Mandarin they got this word, khổ hại, suffering world. They use the word bitter. Bitter means not pleasant. Suffering world of birth and death. You seem to go after tinted merits. You know what is tinted merits or not? What is tinted merit? Merit also got tinted one. Means not pure, understand or not? This is not pure merits that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So tinted with some form of evil roots. They are wholesome, but they arise through a mental intention that has greed, even though in a more subtle way. That's why the greed for merit is a greed. So all of your action, if it's done because you think this is very meritorious, then you act out of greed for merits. So it's not a pure action, it's tinted merits. That is merits which will cause rebirth, will not lead to enlightenment. Yet merits will be of no help if your essence of mind is obscure. You can understand this or not? Your true mind, your nature, if it's obscure, means you are forever heedless, deluded. Spiritually, you are as if dead. Because that essence of mind, that true nature, has been obscured by delusion, by your heedless thinking. So because of that, Fifth Patriarch actually gave a very, very good advice. He said, yet merits will be of no help if your essence of mind is obscure. Means no amount of good merits or blessing that you have cultivated can help you if your essence of mind is obscure. Means all of your merits or so-called blessing that you do will be tinted. It will not be from understanding, wisdom. It will not be pure merits. That's why the Diamond Sutta, if you can cultivate until that level of understanding, then only you really, really penetrated the Diamond Sutta. As long as your essence of mind is or are obscure, you can never reach that level of understanding to cultivate the true merits, the pure merits. So this meaning is very, very important for cultivators of the way. That's why Fifth Patriarch advised, he said, go and seek prajna, or wisdom, in your own mind, and then write me a stanza or gatha about it. He who understands what the essence of mind is will be given the robe, the insignia of the patriarchship, and the Dhamma, the ultimate teaching of the Zen school. And I shall make him the sixth patriarch. Go away quickly. Delay not in writing the stanza, as liberation is quite unnecessary. Sorry, as deliberation is quite unnecessary and of no use. The man who has realized the essence of mind can speak of it at once. As soon as he is spoken to about it, and he cannot lose sight of it, even when engaged in battle. So that is the nature of the enlightenment and understanding. The moment you awaken and realize that form and mind can never, never lose sight of it. However, the disciples said to each other that they didn't need to write any gatha, and that surely their teacher, which is the head monk, Venerable Shen Xiu, they call it the Da Si Xiong, would become the sixth patriarch. So only Shen Xiu wrote a gatha for Master Hong Ren. But as the head monk, Shen Xiu was well respected and under great pressure to produce a gatha that would qualify him as the next patriarch. However, he was uncertain as to his own understanding and eventually decided to write a poem under anonymity, or anonymously on the wall in the middle of the night. announcing his authorship only if Master Hongren approved of it. So that poem that Sensei wrote is as below. The body is like a Bodhi tree. The mind a mirror bright on a stand. Polish it until it shines so that no dust can alight. So in Mandarin, you know how to read. You can read it. It's at the side. Sen Si Pu Ti Su, Xing Ru Ming Jing Tai, and all those things. When the disciples saw this gatha on the wall, there was a great stir. But when Master Hongren saw it, he told them, practice according to this gatha, you will not fall into the evil rhyme. You know the meaning or not? The evil rhyme means the four woeful state of hell, hungry ghost or beta rhyme, then animal rhyme, then demon rhyme. You know why you will not fall? Because you will realize sainthood at least. Sotapan. If you are already a sotapan, you will never fall into the evil rhyme. And you will receive great benefit. Light incense and pay respect to this gatha. Recite it and you will see your essential nature. Means what? You have to go through this first phase of cultivation that Sensei wrote. In order to realize your nature, means he has not realized his essence of mind or his nature. So, because of that, when the disciples saw this gatha on the wall, then all the disciples praised and memorized the gatha. However, privately, Master Hongren, the fifth patriarch, told Sensei, you have arrived at the gate of enlightenment, but you haven't entered it. With this level of understanding, you still have got no idea what the supreme Bodhi mind is or what the essence of mind is. Upon hearing my word, you should immediately recognize the original mind, the essential nature, which is unborn and unceasing. At all times, see it clearly in every thought moment. This is what the enlightened one is all about. Every moment that nature is with them, very clear. With the mind free from all hindrance, mental hindrance, the five mental hindrance. In the one reality, everything is real, and all phenomena are just as they are. See, such profound advice and instruction given. And yet, Sensei couldn't understand because he has yet to realize the silent mind, the cessation of his form and mind, even one moment, a glimpse of it. So Master Hongren asked Sensei to compose another gatha that demonstrate true understanding. Sensei tried very hard but couldn't come up with another verse. Then when a young Novik monk passed by the rice milling kitchen place, reciting Sensei's gatha, Hui Ning immediately knew this verse lacked true insight. He went to the wall and asked a district officer there to write a poem of his own for him. The district officer was surprised. How extraordinary, he said. You are illiterate and you want to compose a gatha. Oh, means to be eligible for the patriarchy. And he don't know how to write, is it? But he was illiterate. Then Hui Ning replied. Whereupon Hui Ning said, if you seek supreme enlightenment, do not slight anyone. This one you must take heed. Means remember this word of what Hui Ning mentioned. Be heedful of it. If you seek supreme enlightenment, do not slight anyone because you never knew who that being is. And Mahayana got this phrase. If you offend any living being, you must understand you are offending a future Buddha, a future Sammasambuddha, not an ordinary Buddha. So that is the seriousness of underestimating any Buddha. everybody. That's why he said, do not slight anyone. The lowest class may have the great insight, and the highest class may commit foolish act, which is very true, isn't it? Yeah? So in veneration, the district officer wrote Hui Ning's gatha on the wall for him, next to Sun Xiu, which read, Bohi is fundamentally not a tree, or without any tree. The mind is neither the mirror bright nor the stand. Originally, there was nothing. Where can the dust alight? So the Mandarin translation is, sorry, the Mandarin was the original gatha. It's written next to the English translation. Yeah? So the Mandarin version, for those who understand, I think the meaning is very beautiful. Hui Ning said, Bodhi, which is enlightenment, Bohi, Peng Wu Su. Bohi, which is enlightenment, is not a tree. Then Ming Jing Yi Fei Tai means the mind, which Sun Xiu described as a mirror bright on a stand. That is not the true mind. He said the true mind has nothing of that. That's why Ming Jing Yi Fei Tai. Then originally there was nothing. Penlai Uyu, He Chu Re Chen Ai, where can the dust alight? So this poem was so powerful that it counter completely what Sun Xiu has written. Then Hui Ning then went back to rice pounding. However, this gatha created a bigger stir. Everyone was saying, how amazing. You can't judge a person by his look. Maybe he will become a living bodhisattva soon. See, a lot of them commented. However, when Master Hongren came out, he just casually said, this hasn't seen the essential nature too, and proceeded to wipe the gatha off with his shoe. The fifth patriarch then went secretly to the room, means to the kitchen, where Hui Ning was pounding the rice. Seeing that Hui Ning was working there with a stone pestle on his waist, he said to Hui Ning, actually here they miss out one part. No? He actually asked Hui Ning, how long have you been carrying that stone pestle? He said, since the day he came. Means fifth patriarch knew he is very wise. His bodily weight not enough, so he understand that he need the pestle to allow him to have a heavier body and the pestle to pound the rice in a more efficient way. Then after that, the fifth patriarch commented. He said, a seeker of the path risks his life for the Dhamma. Should he not do so? See? He knew the intention of Hui Ning. And he knew he has risked his life to come all this way and seek the Dhamma. Because he's a commoner. Then the fifth patriarch asked Hui Ning, is the rice ready? See? The wise one, when they communicate, very deep meaning. Hui Ning's answer was so good. He said, ready long ago, only waiting for the thief. And that's means ever since the day he arrived, he is already ready. But waiting for the thief means to clear away a little bit of the, what they call, after you pound the rice, the husk and the rice separate. And so waiting for the thief means you have to sieve away the husk. Then only the fruit of it will be left. Then, knowing what the fifth patriarch meant, the fifth patriarch then knocked the mortar twice with the stick and left. See, the message already passed on. He knocked three times. Not the one that you sing on. Knock three times on the ceiling. That one is different. This one is knock three times on the mortar. Then after that, Henning knew. Knowing what the fifth patria meant, in the middle of the night of the third watch, Henning went to the fifth patria's room, or the place where he resided. That night, Master Hong Ren received Henning in his abode and expounded the Diamond Sutta to him. You listen, this is where I want you to listen. You can also awaken if you are ready. And this is a very powerful sutta, Diamond Sutta. That's a Tuesday class, we are going through it. And this one, you listen. When he came to the passage, to use the mind, yet be free from attachment. Just this sentence. Huineng came to great awakening. And now I repeat. To use the mind and be free from its attachment. Any effect on you or not? No effect. By now, some of you should be able to understand because this is very powerful. All of Dhamma is to understand this, to use the mind, yet be free from any attachment. Cannot relate to what I shared with you earlier on. Who are you? What are you? Yeah? Why you shake your head? Who are you? What are you? So easy also, don't know. Who are you? What are you? I draw this, then you will remember. Who are you? What are you? You cannot deny you have a physical body there. You have a consciousness trapped inside there. So this is what the Buddha said. You are the form, means physical body, physically. Physical. And mind. That's why the Buddha said, you are the form and mind, five aggregate of form and mind. So this mind, the Buddha subdivide into four more aggregates. Vedana sanya sankhara vijanam means this mind has this ability to feel, to perceive, to arise mental activity, mental states, mental emotion, thinking, idea, views and opinion. That it can have the ability to be conscious of what you see. So if this five aggregate of form and mind is what you are, which is the first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind as a human being, then the Buddha said if you attach and cling to this five aggregate of form and mind, you will develop self-delusion, Sakkaya Ditti. And self-delusion can bring about suffering. That's why it will create affliction on you. Then the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind is the five mental aggregate. Every moment of sense experience. The four aggregate of mind, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana, remain the same. But how does the external form enter the mind? Through what? Through the aggregate of? Perception. So perception brings the aggregate into the mind. So external form, which is mental form, or mental form, will also create the five aggregate of form and mind. And this becomes the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. And this one is the first aspect. So what did the Diamond Sutta say? You must know how to use this mind and yet be free from its attachment. And because of that, Hui Ning realized great awakening. You remember what I told you? This five aggregate of form and mind is not what you think you are. Remember? This is not you. Because this is condition arising, karmically conditioned out for you to use, to live life, to experience all of the whatever that you want to experience in life. So it is condition arising, causal phenomena, impermanent. If you grasp and cling and hold, it leads to suffering. And because of that, it is empty, non-self, not a permanent, unchanging entity. And this is not you. So you have to understand that because it is not you, you have to learn how to use it. Understand not? That's why this form and mind is like a vehicle and a tool for you to use. Remember? I used to tell you. So if you use it with understanding, means what? The user of thought has wisdom. Means what? Thought will be right thought. Understand not? Thought will have right view. That's what Noble Eightfold Path is all about. That's what Diamond Sutta is all about. That's why Hui Ning, the moment he understood and heard about that stanza, he realized great awakening. So that great awakening is just what he had realized. Because all along, he knew that this mind is not him. This mind is for him to use. But when you are no longer deluded by what it is, because you have penetrated the characteristics of phenomena, the three universal characteristics of impermanent, leading to suffering and non-self or empty nature, that awakening allow him to understand that these five aggregate of form and mind is just the way they are. You cannot attach, you cannot cling. The moment you attach and cling, suffering will arise, delusion will arise, sakadity, self-delusion. That's why this verse is very powerful, very, very powerful. I read to you again. When the fifth patriarch came to that passage, to use the mind, yet be free from any attachment, Hui Ning came to great enlightenment that all dhammas are inseparable from the self nature. The moment you penetrate and realize that nature, you will understand this profoundly and you will know that this is not you. There is no more sakadity, self-delusion. You will not cling and hold anymore. And because of that, you will know what that pure nature is. Then you know what Hui Ning said or not. He exclaimed, oh, how amazing that the self nature is originally pure, perfect. How amazing the self nature which is unborn and undying because it is eternal nature. It was there originally. That's why it was never born. Because it was never born. It has eternal life. Because there is no birth, there is no old age, sickness and death. This is not the conditioned world. That nature is different. Then after that he said, how amazing that the self nature is inherently complete. How amazing that the self nature neither move nor stay. See? If you can penetrate this, you will be beautiful. Then he said, how amazing. This last sentence is the best. That all Dhamma come from this self nature. That's why this is the greatest understanding. You remember Sakyamuni say, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything come to be. That's how you create through your mundane mind, through your stirring. But it comes from that true nature. That's why Hui Ning realized how amazing that all Dhamma, everything that you come to perceive and arise through your five aggregate form mind, they come from this self nature. And the moment you realize this, you will be like Hui Ning. you will come to great awakening. Then Master Hongren told Hui Ning, if one recognizes the original mind or the original nature or the true nature, he is called a great man, teacher of man and God, or God and man, and he is the Buddha, Sammasambuddha. He passed on the rope and the bowl. The word begging is not correct. It's the arms bowl. As a symbol of the Dhamma seal of sudden enlightenment to Hui Ning. That's why Hui Ning's teaching is very direct, points direct to the true mind, the nature. He is not interested in the mundane mind, thinking mind. That one you have to polish every time, train and do all those funny things. Although this story is as clearly stated as it can be, it should also be noted that Hui Ning was not permitted to make himself known as a sixth patriarch until later on. This was due to fear that his fellow monk might be angered and harm him, that he had been made the sixth patriarch and not Sun Siu or one of the other monks who had seniority over him. So this summarizes very well how Hui Ning came to meet up with the fifth patriarch and how the condition all fall into place and how he was transmitted the patriarchship to become the sixth patriarch. So all these are very, very beautiful. Then if you want to understand more, you can read on. The five aggregate of form and mind and all those things. Okay. Hopefully, some of you can be like Hui Ning. Come to great awakening. Pamasuri got a question. Very good.
Good afternoon, brother.
Yeah.
Actually, this is not a question, but it's a humble request. Can Brother Teo please elaborate more on this? All dhammas come from the self nature.
Yeah, very good question. Thank you so much. You see, just I actually explained, but in a very summarized way. It was written in the text how Hui Ning came to great awakening and how he recited that verse, the final conclusion. How amazing is it? All Dhamma arise from that self nature. You know what is that self nature? That true nature, that original nature. The one that we call 自信 means it is the source of all things. Before anything arises, it is already there. That's why this one is the unborn. Understand not? And it's already perfect, pure. And this one neither move or stir. It's just like Lao Tzu's teaching. He explained what the Tao is. Tao ke Tao, Fei Chang Tao. Whatever that can be described or written, spoken, that is not the true Tao. Because Tao is beyond word, beyond thought, beyond mind. But at the end, nothing is apart from the Tao. So now you remember. Even though the Tao is so abstract, it's just like that true nature. It neither moves nor stir. It was originally perfect and pure. But all Dhamma came from that self nature. So what Hui Ning realized was very profound. He realized that there are two types of mind inside the living being, not only human being. Living being means any living being with the five aggregate of form and mind. any living being, you will have the five aggregate of form and mind. So I will write it on the board. Human beings' problem is they mistaken the mundane mind . There are two types of mind. Human beings' problem is they mistaken the mundane mind for the true mind. The mundane mind is also the thinking mind, the conditioned arising mind. Or the worldly mind. When you deludedly grasp and cling at this five aggregate of form and mind, the second aspect, the five mental aggregates of form and mind, then delusion set in. Then you believe this is what you are. You think you exist as a person who can arise that thought, that thinking. That five aggregate of form and mind, the mental aspect, is your thought. You think there is a thinker behind the thought. Then you think there is a being inside there to feel, to experience everything that you experience in this world. There is a human being or a living being to perceive something, to experience something, to hear, to smell, to taste, to tactile feel and think. That is what Sakayaditi is all about, self-delusion is all about. Then, like that day at Padmasri's house, remember? The Thursday class? We went through the essential Dhamma of the Buddha. Then we came to a conclusion about this five aggregate of form and mind. Who are you? What are you? So that two part. You have a physical body, which is the physical form. We have the senses. The five physical senses, together with the mind, consciousness that is trapped inside, you have the sixth sense. And that is basically what that human being is all about. Then you remember Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. What did the Buddha say? Our mind is the forerunner of all things, and mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. That is your mundane mind. Understand that? That's why that is the creator of all things. When consciousness arises, when that five aggregate of form and mind through delusion input the content, then that five aggregate of form and mind, which is the thought, the mental aggregate, is also deluded. That's how it creates. It creates through what? Through attachment, through craving, through clinging, through grasping. Then you give meaning to everything. You create them through words, through your thought, through idea, through concept. Then words divide, create all the labeling. And because of that, the whole phenomenal world of consciousness come to be. And when the phenomenal world of consciousness come to be, it's only consciousness, but you grasp and cling and hold. That's how that self nature, even though unmoving, unstirring, but is capable of condition arising all this so-called phenomenal world. So once you understand how mind create, you will start to understand how you know the world and how you interact with the world. Because without the physical body, without the five physical senses and the mind that is trapped inside, you are incapable of consciousness. You are incapable of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile consciousness and thought consciousness. Without this sixth type of consciousness, you are like a dead person. You are like a vegetable and you cannot know the world. That's why, how do you know the world? Through your senses. Through your sense of consciousness. Then how do you interact with the world? Again, through your senses. Through your sixth sense. So this sixth sense, which is the basis of all activity in life, which is the basis of all Dhamma and creation, they came from that true nature, that self nature. That's why without mindfulness, without the silent mind, to have this ability to see how the mind stir and create and arise the various types of consciousness and the input of the content of consciousness based on your self-delusion and sakkayaditti, that condition living beings to grasp and cling and hold. You will never understand this verse. That's why all Dhamma, they arise from that self-nature. All creation, they arise from that self-nature. So now you can understand, huh? It is through your senses, through your conscious mind, upon contact, you become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. But the one with delusion, they will grasp and cling and hold. That everything is like very real, eh? Like what we went through in our previous sharing. But the moment you have awakened, you have penetrated the Dhamma and realized that they are all empty as per Heart Sutta. When Kuan Yin Bodhisattva or Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, he illuminated the five aggregate of form and mind, and he realized that they were all empty. Hence, she awakened, no longer deluded. So this penetrative insight, born of the direct seeing, which is the pure wisdom or prajna, is very powerful. And without this prajna, which is wisdom, born of the direct seeing, the form and mind will continue to be deluded. And this five aggregate of form and mind is not what you are. But the moment it awakened through the direct seeing, that wisdom, that understanding, will protect the five aggregate of form and mind. And then you can say this five aggregate of form and mind, because of that understanding, that wisdom, the prajna, or panya, that form and mind is no longer deluded. Then nothing in this world can delude it. All of thought creation, all of consciousness creation, they will have no more power over the five aggregate of form and mind. That's why it is incapable of suffering anymore. It will not grasp, cling and hold. It will know them for what they are. It will know how to use them appropriately. That's why right view will arise, born of wisdom, born of right understanding of what reality is all about. All of the law, nature's law that governs life and existence, has been penetrated, especially the spiritual law of karma, law of mind, and law of Dhamma, which is karma niyama, citta niyama, and Dhamma niyama. And when you have this penetrative understanding, your mind will awaken. And this is how you will realize. Your mind will enter cessation. Cessation of form and mind will come to be. Then the moment you realize what the essence of mind is, what that true mind is, what that true nature is, you are not deluded anymore. The condition arising mind, which constantly stir and delude living being, will have no more power over you. That's why that verse, you will be able to use the mind and yet not attach to the mind, because you know it is not you, but karmically conditioned out for you to come to this world, to this universe, to use it. That's how you use, but you are not deluded by it. So this is the very important understanding. Eh? So as you slowly, slowly develop the cultivation, the contemplation, you will suddenly one day come to that awakening or understanding. That it's just like that. Within that moment when you understand, your mind just is. Just like Xu Yin, you remember? Master Shen Hua's teacher, the 120 years old Xu Yin. You know how he became enlightened? You know how he became enlightened? It's not because he meditated until his mind completely transformed that he enlightened. No. He got enlightened because during that moment, there was an attendant who poured hot water into his tea cup. And because he was holding on to his tea cup and the attendant was not careful, he spilled the hot water onto Xu Yin's hand. And during that spur of a moment, because it was so hot, understand not? Xu Yin's hand just, through that natural understanding and instinct, it just like whatever that is hot, it will just respond, understand not? It didn't let go, no, it just respond, understand not? So when it respond, means what? He dropped the cup. But because he was already ready, like Huining, he has daily mindfulness. Then that moment, in that instant, when that thing which is so hot, that consciousness which is so hot, stop all the thinking, understand? Within that moment, but you don't go and repeat this and say, hey, brother, still say, she in hot water, go back ask your brother or your sister to pour hot water. I say, you maybe use the word, God bless you. Nobody can help you. You are so foolish. It has to come naturally. That's why the word naturally, at that instant, that moment when it happened, the mind ceased. And when the mind ceased, he was in samadhi. Because he didn't think anymore. It's just that consciousness. And he didn't attach and respond because his mind is very different. But he cultivated. He has developed the contemplative wisdom and he was ready. That's like the moment the cup dropped and it cracked. That sound, that vibration, he said in his poem later on, during that moment, the whole of the mind, the mundane mind, the conscious mind, the thinking mind, like impoverized. You know what is impoverized? Yeah? Like something solid like that. Suddenly become powder or understand not? Impoverized. So the mind suddenly ceased. Then from that moment, he understood everything. The whole of the Dhamma. That is what meditation is all about. That's what enlightenment is all about. The sudden enlightenment. Now you can follow. Huh? So don't worry about what happened. As long as you don't have fear, worry, anxiety, you understand that this is not you. That's why the moment he holds, the moment that thing happened, because there is no attachment, no clinging, he understood. It just naturally react. Then that natural response, during that moment, there was no thought, no fear, nothing. And that vibration, that cracking of the cup, immediately transformed the mind. That's why the mind enters cessation. He said the whole of the conscious mind like impoverized. That's why he realized the true mind, the true nature. Then he immediately, when he come out of it, he understood all of creation. But this is how that nature creates. Without word, without thought, when you enter cessation, that is what that nature is. That's why that nature neither come or go. That nature has got no beginning. It was never born. That's why it never died. And Huining keep on stressing that point. How amazing is it that this self nature was originally already perfect and beautiful. It's only living being cannot realize it and don't understand it and don't know how to use it. That's why the whole of meditation is about silent, understand? To return to this nature, to touch this nature. But what has been taught to you all is all the doing, doing, doing. There must be a meditator to do. There must be somebody to note, to do all these things. You are so active. You are never silent. That's why you can never realize that nature. And the essential Dhamma, the penetrative Dhamma, you don't have a clear understanding of what they are. You cannot insight into their characteristics of impermanence. And because of that, you cannot see how suffering comes to be when you grasp and cling. And because you cannot realize impermanence, you don't have the silent mind to insight into it. You are always deluded by what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. You are to you. The egoic mind is so powerful. There is a person inside there to do all this. That's why you always say, I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, I think, I tactile feel. The ego, the sakyadity, the atta, the personality is so powerful, so strong. That's why sakyadity, which is self-delusion, is so difficult to understand, so difficult to penetrate. As long as you grasp and cling to the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the conditioned arising mind, the worldly mind, the heedless mind, suffering will continue to arise. Affliction will continue to grip you through that self-delusion. Okay? Can you understand, huh? Sadhu, I rejoice. What's the time now? Oh, I have to end soon, huh? Another 20 minutes, huh? We better end at 4:45, huh? So that she has time to get ready and come out. Then we can also get ready to receive her. Okay, we turn to page. Just now we were at 35, huh? Yeah, so this was the part I wanted to share with you. So we read on the commentary. After the six patriarchs left Huang Mei, he had no safe place to live because Sensu's disciple and follower of non-Buddhist religion wished to harm him. The great master went to live with the hunters for 16 years. It so happened, 16 years. See? He had realized the Dhamma. He had actually become fully enlightened. And yet, he lay low. He was with the hunters for 16 years. So such is the nature of Huining. He has that patient endurance. He has that understanding. That's why he was able to lie low for 16 years and he was with the hunters. And you see that documentary show. He actually went through a lot of very tough condition where he was being put through. Because this hunter, they are very fierce race. And they just do what they like. And most of them are very violent. But if you really have a chance to witness the documentary show, you should listen attentively to the Dhamma because it was so beautiful. I like that movie, that documentary show. I have seen it many, many times. And every time I see it, there was so much joy. Especially the first time when I saw it in the cinema, my whole lot of nature just arise. It was so beautiful because the Dhamma that was spoken, it was so clear to my nature. That's why you listen, then go back and... Now you can get it from the internet, I think. Huining, documentary video. It's very beautiful. YouTube got... many of you have seen it, but with this explanation, you go back. Possibility very much higher for transformation and awakening. Hey, don't laugh. Maybe next week somebody will come back, Brother Teo, thank you so much for the advice. Oh, I went in. I click. Then after I saw the show, the mind also click. So don't allow that chance to slip away. You only spend 2 hours maybe watching that video. But when you watch with understanding, attentively with the Dhamma, it is so beautiful. So we continue. For 16 years he was with the hunter. During this time, nobody knew him. Oh. You realize something very similar. During this time, nobody knew him. That he was the sixth patriarch. He worked hard. Actually, this is not correct. Practicing Dhyan meditation. He don't have to practice anymore. He already has the understanding. The second part is true. While watching over the animals, the birds and the hunter, while watching over the animals and the bird, the hunter had caught and secretly releasing the ones which had been only slightly injured and could still travel safely. So when he did that, he almost get into trouble. later on, I think one of the very violent hunter among the group came to realize, how come every day also veggie? Very little meat. Then the other co-cook, which was there before him, dare not tell the truth, because Huineng released all those that are slightly injured that can still survive. He had much time to cultivate and perfect his skill, for no one came to trouble him. Actually, God, the hunters troubled him. Then there was one incident inside there. I think they want to take revenge over him. So this violent hunter, he disturbed him with his, I think, one or two of the colleagues. Then he wants to force Huineng to eat meat. No, where he heard Huineng only eat the veggie, he never eat the meat. That's why you heard Mahayana say, you take the veggie that is surrounding the meat that they cook. Rou bian cai. You heard of that? Then somebody asked Master Xuan Hua, Huineng can eat like that, I also can eat like that. Means I only eat the veggie next to the bak kut teh or next to the what choy, the shin choy. You know what Master Xuan Hua replied or not? If you have Huineng's cultivation, then you can eat like that. Otherwise, you better go to veggie. So that was a great joke. So whatever it is, the story there was very interesting. So it seemed he forced him to eat, but he didn't really eat. Then he used the whole bowl with the meat. He put it over his head, and he didn't fight back. He was not even angry or unhappy. Then somebody came out and helped the situation. I think the head of the hunters. He said, enough. He said, let's stop. No more of this. He said, you don't want to eat. Other people want to eat. He said, don't simply pour on the next. So that was how the situation came under control. Then later on, it was Huineng that saved the hunter, because towards the end, another big group of hunter from other place, they came and robbed them and almost killed everyone. Then they actually were punishing Huineng during that time, because he was trying to avoid situation that can lead to misunderstanding. So actually he was bullied. Then they say a lot of lie, tell a lot of lie behind and accuse him. But he didn't want to argue back. Even there was a lady who knew that he was accused, but they couldn't help him, because he said, it's okay. He said, you think I did? I did. He said, you punish me. So they punish him. They hang him up. Actually, in their tradition, when they hang you up, for 3 days and three nights, no food, no water, nothing. If you survive, they will let you go after that. But not upright, no. Inverted, no. Very high up in the tree, you know. And because Huineng has this nature, so during that time he meditated. Then the fifth patriarch came. Actually, at one time he was drowned in a what they call that quicksand. But because of his cultivation, the fifth patriarch came. He went into samadhi. Then the fifth patriarch lifted him. Then he came out. Then they were so surprised that he didn't die. But they tricked him and let him fall into the quicksand. Then they saw him went down. But later on, he came out. That's why the hunter that actually did all those things to him was very worried that he will tell the truth. But he didn't. He come back, actually he tell a lie. He said, I fell into the quicksand. He said, but luckily I didn't die. He said. Then after that, they actually punished him for something else. I forgot already. Then during that time when he was hanged up there, the fifth patriarch came to him. He said, now is the time for you to go. He said, you can now come out already. Oh, then he came down from there. Then he saw those other group of hunters come and attack. Then he didn't fight, you know. He just took out his rope. And very strange, you know, he waved his rope and his bun. And the wind was so strong. The wind only disturbed the hunter that come and attack. Didn't disturb the other group that were with him. Then during that time, a lot of those people who were with him, the hunter, especially one of the hunter, he liked to carve this enlightened being. But every time he don't know how to carve the face. Then Huineng one day asked him, why is your carving all without face on? You know what he told Huineng? He has yet to personally see somebody who is enlightened where the face is worthy of his carving. And that moment when Huineng saved them, when he saw him with that thing, and the aura, everything came out. This hunter, who was a great carver, he immediately took out that one without face on. He carved Huineng's face on that carving. And that moment, your whole of your nature will arise. He is such a great being. And after that, they only realized that all along, for 16 years, they have been staying with this great enlightened being. And yet they don't know who he is. See? You aspire to meet up with the Sama Sambuddha or the enlightened one. But you never aspire to recognize him. For 16 years, you yet you don't know who he is. Next time, like one of my Dhamma friends earlier days, he said, brother, till I make aspiration now different. I aspire to meet, recognize and follow. Otherwise, still can miss. I think we finish all that part, then we can maybe ask them to invite our Venerable out. So I will go on. If you do not truly cultivate, everything is easy. But if you do cultivate truly, demon obstacle arise from the four corners. See? Four corners. No? And the eight direction. Unexpected circumstances prevail and things you never dream could happen, do happen. In his 16 years with the hunters, the six patriarchs dwell without disturbance, living just as they did. That is genuine hiding. Actually, it's patient endurance. He did not seek fame or profit, and he did not try to take advantage of circumstances. He practiced genuine cultivation. So that was the story part. That's why this commentary, they already take out all those stories. So they only go according to the sutta, the platform sutta. So what we have gone through last time under the Heart Sutta note, that's why somebody asked me, he said, as we go through the Heart Sutta note, why must we also go through all this introduction by Xuan Hua and all those things? You turn to page 11. I read to you this one, you will understand. 1.1, the third Heart Sutta, short notes. The question one, why must we go through the introduction by Master Xuan Hua instead of going into the Heart Sutta teaching direct? That time one lady, you know, asked me this question. You know. She feel that it's wasting time. You know. But wait till you listen to the answer, then you know why. So I answer her. I say, a very good question. It will be like building a high-rise building without having a stable foundation. As I explained, the Heart Sutta is very profound, a very profound teaching. And it must be understood that without a proper foundation being taught to you, it is almost impossible to understand this teaching. Unless some of you have had some very strong past cultivation to help support you in the understanding of this sutta. Hence, this is the reason why I started off by introducing to you the final summary of the First Noble Truth of Dukkha, followed by an in-depth explanation of the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind in the first chapter of the Heart Sutta. Now only you understand why we had to go into the five aggregates. This is to help establish a basis for you to understand the great similarity between Sakyamuni Buddha's teaching and that of the Heart Sutta as expounded by Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Both teachers emphasize the importance of understanding the five aggregates of form and mind and why they are all empty, that is, anatta and sunyata. So now you see the similarity. First noble truth of suffering, the final summary, Sakyamuni Buddha summarized everything as the grasping and clinging to the five aggregates of form and mind that he called dukkha. Suffering means the five aggregates of grasping. Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, when he cultivated and when he illuminated the five aggregates of form and mind, he also realized that they were all empty. That's why he liberated and passed beyond. So both came to understand the importance of this five aggregates of form and mind. If you can't even understand what this five aggregate of form and mind is, then how are you going to put to test or investigate into what they have said? The First Noble Truth's final summary and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's Heart Sutta. Then we go on. The introduction by Master Xuan Hua also explained how wonderful and full of wisdom this sutta is, and also why it is so important to read through this sutta diligently many times. Because each repetition will reveal to the reader a new depth of the new level of understanding, thus bringing about the immeasurable benefits. In a book 10 times its length, one could not fully praise its value as a key to the understanding of human life. Hence the famous saying, true emptiness is wonderful existence. See, one sentence explains everything, That is, understanding true emptiness can lead to deep, penetrative understanding of human life. Hence, life or existence will become very meaningful and very wonderful once our Heart Sutta wisdom has been developed and understood. Master Xuan Hua also stressed on the importance of spiritual understanding or real spiritual understanding rather than deep learning or knowledge-based understanding. Only as a true prerequisite for expounding the Heart Sutta. The main concern of the Heart Sutta and all the other sutta that the Buddha has spoken is simply the life and birth and death of living being. Then answering questions, like, I know, never mind, it's okay, because 4:45, we still got 3-4 minutes. Why must we avoid all evil, do good, and purify our mind? Why are we born? And where will we go when we die? What we must do while here? How we can stop our suffering and find true happiness for ourselves and others? What is death? What dies and who dies? Who are you? And what are you? What is life? How to understand its true meaning and purpose? So all these are very important pointer for you to inquire. So in order to understand all this, you must penetrate the Dhamma. So this is the part that I wish to share with you all. So with this, we can end today's sixth platform sutta. In the meantime, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then after that, you pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Sharing our merits with the devas. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the last 1 hour. Then we share and transfer all these merits to all these beings. Akasata Chabumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta Vata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Now we invoke the blessing for our nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasu sampatihito cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu Yava Nivana Patiya. By the grace of this merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. There we